So every year, Time magazine has the tradition of declaring the person of the year. In less enlightened period, of course, it was the man of the year, but now it's anybody who is able to be the person of the year. Does anyone know who this year's person of the year was? The protester, which is kind of appropriate given it was a rather extraordinary year, beginning with the protests in Egypt and then that began to sweep across the Middle East and Northern Africa and Tunisia and to Libya. And we saw the downfall of terrible regimes and, of course, other protest movements as well, with the Occupy movement and other protests in Russia and so forth. So it certainly was a year of revolutions and a rather extraordinary year that we've just lived through. But what Time didn't acknowledge was that there were so many other years during human history when there have been incredible periods of revolution, incredible changes that have come about. Beginning, I will assert, with the birth of our Lord Jesus in that stable in Bethlehem. That was the change in human history that marked a revolution that continues through to this day. You might say, well, he's just a little baby. Just how could that little thing that I brought into the church and brought through in procession through all the different parts to remind us that God has drawn near in the person of Jesus? How can a little baby be a revolutionary? But that is indeed what our Lord Jesus has done and continues to do. And I believe that the way that Jesus brought about this revolution and why the angels sang that song when the shepherds were there, when they pled, "Glory to God, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to all who enjoy God's favor." The Lord wants us to share in that work that he's about. The work that began in creation. The work that continues through to this day. And it all began to change on that day, on that night when our Lord Jesus Christ drew near to us. And he did it by sharing these most incredible gifts with us. The gift of grace and the gift of peace. St. Paul recognized this. Every letter that Paul begins, the 13 letters that comprise his works in the New Testament, every time when he begins his letters, this is the prayer that he prays for the recipients. This is the prayer that he continues to pray for us who are the followers of those first Christians, those first believers. Paul wants us to understand and to receive this gift because our Lord Jesus has given us these gifts. First then, grace. Grace is a powerful image, a powerful word. Paul changed the usual greeting when he began his letters. Normally, in Greek, he would say karen, but he changes it to charis. And in doing so, he establishes that there's something different that is happening, something powerful that is happening. At the heart of it, the experience of grace is an experience of gift. It's not something we earn, not something we merit, not something that I'm better than you and so I get more grace. The power of grace, the gift that grace is just something that we open our arms to receive, that we allow the Lord Jesus to pour upon us in the incredible gift of the Holy Spirit. That is the power of grace. To know that I can't merit it, to know that I can't earn it, to know that I will never deserve it, and yet God so willingly, so freely chooses to pour his grace upon us, to give us that sharing, to abundantly bless us with his grace. That changes everything, and it changes it especially when it's combined with that second prayer of the angels, the prayer of peace. Though it's in Greek the word eirene, it's probably the Hebrew word that we're more familiar with, the word shalom. Shalom. Come on, join with me and say shalom. Shalom is the way that we're invited to live. Now, I'm sure that every one of you wants this day, this Christmas, to be marked by peace. But usually we think of peace just in terms of its absence. You know, we think that, well, we have peace when we don't have war, when we don't have conflict, when we don't have violence. You know, I'm sure all of you who have had the experience, well, I pray you haven't, but I'm sure maybe some of you have had the experience of a family gathering that's kind of gone belly up. You don't want that. You don't want that. You want peace. But peace is so much more than just an absence. Peace is something absolutely creative. Peace is about harmony. It's about health and prosperity. It's about wholeness. It's a sense of everything coming together. The Hebrews, the rabbis understood that the work of creation that began in Genesis 1 did not finish in Genesis 1. In Genesis 1, we have that sense where the Lord begins to bless creation. You know, the birds and the fish and the trees. But when a tree begins to grow, then it lets go its seeds, and the seeds then produce more trees, more plants. The first commandment that we meet in Scripture in Genesis 1 is the commandment to be fruitful and multiply. That's the first commandment that we find in Scripture. And that is about shalom. Because shalom is that sense of being fruitful, of allowing God to bestow on us the harmony, the wholeness, the perfection that can only come from God. And I believe that this is what Jesus brings us at Christmas. This sense of all of these things coming together. The free gift of a child born at Christmas. The incredible bounty of a God who pours himself out upon us so that we, in our turn, can share in that. That we, in our turn, can find our proper place, our proper identity, not by ourselves, not in just the things that I, Richard Healy, can do, but in all of the things that God wants to do in me and through me. When we begin to live our lives, not as a product of works, not as a product of activity, not as a measurement according to the amount of money I have in my bank balance, not according to the number of credentials that I'm able to put after my name, not according to my title at work, but according to who I am in God, to what my true identity is in Christ. All of us have faults, have failings, have little areas of darkness in our lives, things that we are in mortal terror that they may be revealed. You know, we don't want these darknesses, these inadequacies in our hearts to be exposed, to be writ large on, you know, a public stage. The power of grace, the power of peace allows us to find that space in our lives to accept them. Not because they're sinful, but because God is loving us even in those places. God is freeing us even in those places. It's been pointed out to me in recent days, and particularly in the last couple of months of being here in Camden, that, you know, I'm quite awkward socially. I'm, you know, a bit of a geek. And so all of that kind of impacts, you know, upon me. But the way of grace, the way of peace, allows me to say, that's okay. I'm quite okay with that. That I have found my identity, who I am in Christ. And that changes everything. That allows me to experience the wonder and the glory of simply being a child of God, of simply walking with our God. And that, my friends, changes everything. Because our God is with us. We are not alone. We are never alone because our God is Emmanuel. Our God walks with us. Our God is there pouring himself out upon us in grace and peace and inviting us to do the same, that God is with us. But at Christmas, that does present a challenge. At Christmas, that does invite us to respond to that grace, to that peace. Christmas has a cost. Do you know how much we have spent as a nation in the last 6 weeks on Christmas presents. Around $2,000 each, apparently. We will spend about $40 billion this year on Christmas. It's pretty shocking, pretty amazing. There's about 1.7 billion people in our world who don't have access to clean drinking water. So many diseases that are preventable if only people would have access to clean drinking water. Do you know how much it would cost to provide clean drinking water to every single person on our world? We have the technology, we have the capacity. All it takes is money. And it will only cost $20 billion. If only we'd each spent half as much on Christmas presents and given the other half to projects that provided clean water to people, one more problem would have been solved. This is the challenge. This is the call of Christmas. If we are to live as people in grace and peace, then this is what it means. This is the way that it is. One solution that has become very popular in recent years, particularly because of the internet, particularly because of the capacity now to be involved in a national, global world, is the idea of microfinancing. Often people, particularly women in areas of poverty, don't have access to loans. And so if something happens, if one of their animals dies, they just don't have the capacity to buy another one. And so they remain locked in this cycle of poverty. What microfinancing provides is loans to these people. It's not charity. It's not saying just here's some money. It's saying, I want to be a partner with you. I want to walk with you. I want to journey with you to help you to get back on your feet, to provide that source of life and possibility. One organization that's doing this is an organization called Kiva, kiva.org. What they do is they invite us to make a loan. Then we get updates through the website about the particular project that we have contributed to. We then get repaid. So it's not charity. We will get repaid. But the invitation that Kiva makes is to repeat the process, just to pour that money back into the whole process. I've only been using Kiva for the last few months, but it's just an incredible gift, an incredible possibility to see hearts and lives changed in such a simple, easy to handle kind of way. You can donate you can make a loan for as little as $25 up to whatever you're able to give. Don't let this Christmas just go by us another season. Let this Christmas be that time when we begin to change our world because our Lord Jesus has come among us, because He has brought that grace and peace to share with us. Let's bring that into our world. I've created a St. Paul's Camden team so that together we can journey on this process. So if you go to kiva.org, you can either use that address or just simply search for Camden on Kiva and you will find that group. We're at the moment, I'm the only member, but I'm sure by next week that will have changed. This Christmas, let's truly live in the grace and peace of Christ. Let's allow that identity to change us, but let's allow that identity to change us for a purpose.